It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to our weekly outdoor show. This is a place where we have about 15 minutes to talk about the outdoors, and I can usually have a guest with me, but this week I thought I'd solo and tell you a story or two or talk about some things that I think has influenced me through the years in the outdoors. You know, there's been a ton of changes in the outdoors in my life. I was born in 1950, and up in rural Red River County is where I grew up until I was my mid-teens, and then my dad passed away, and we moved out of there. But the old Dimples store, many of you know where Clarksville is, up 6 miles north of Clarksville on Highway 37, is the old Dimples store. My dad had the store back in the 40s, and I think in the mid-50s he sold it to Mr. Killam, who ran the store. But life back in those days was way, way different than it is today. Red River County is still pretty rural overall, but you can imagine what it was like. Oh gosh, when I was 8 years old back in 58, I remember those years vividly, but it was way different. There was no rushing around, heading home, heading to soccer practice, all that kind of stuff like is commonplace today. I grew up hunting and fishing. The first big lake that I remember going to was, gosh, I was in my probably early teens before, you know, we fished some small ponds, and we would, my dad, when he sold the store back in, mid-50s, I guess, well, he went in the poultry business raising chickens, and about every 8 or 9 weeks, the chickens would sell. And then we loaded up the old 50-model International pickup with all our fishing gear, and we would head up near Ida Bell. There was an old lake up there that was chock full of channel catfish. We called it Long Log Lake, but it was just 10 miles out of Ida Bell. I haven't been back there in 40 years, but back in those days, it was full of little pound-and-a-half to 3-pound channel catfish, good-eating fish. Well, the day or two before we would head out, my job was to fish for perch, and, you know, we used cut bait mostly for trot line. We trot line. That's about all we did, really. We'd set out 2 or 3 trot lines, but I'd have a whole 5-gallon bucket full of perch, and we'd cut those perch up. That made some excellent bait for those channel catfish, you know. We would load in that old 50-model International pickup, head up there, usually on a Friday. The next closest to me in age, sisters were 10 years older than me, the twins. So we'd all head up, and by then, when I got on up there, 10 or 12 years old, you know, they were married. So we'd all load up in that little old pickup. We thought it was a big truck back in those days. Our goal was to get up there to Long Log Lake and get a camp set up and get the trot lines baited and catch a mess of catfish for that first evening meal. And I never remember us not getting plenty of catfish. Basically, if you got some bait in the water back in those days, that lake was just chock full of channel catfish. So it was easy to catch them. The camp was no fifth wheel RV 28 foot long. That's not what we had. We had that old pickup. My dad would have little shelves that folded down off the side of the bed, and put old Coleman camp stove on it, and we'd build a fire up and had a big old Dutch kettle that we'd fry the fish in. They were actually big old tarps, tarpaulin. I haven't heard that word in a long time. That's what I was trying to think of, tarpaulins, tarps, you know. Well, we had these old canvas tarps, and we'd make they'd stretch those out on the ground, and we would sleep on those with our bedrolls. I do not remember sleeping bags back in those days. We'd use quilts or whatever, you know, probably some old quilts my mother kept for that purpose, you know. But the whole key was to get those lines set, get that little old, it's about a 12-foot wooden boat paddle out there and bait that line and go back in about an hour and check it, get those catfish skin. There was no filleting back in those days, folks. It was skin them. Cut that little V up on that top dorsal fin and get your pliers and skin them out and fry them, you know, usually fry them whole unless we got a bigger one. But that was kind of the way we'd do it. We'd open up some pork and beans and white bread, onions. We'd always have, you know, fresh onions there from the garden. Fried potatoes. We'd always have another cast iron skillet for potatoes. That would be the first evening meal. And, of course, you'd make me go to sleep about, you know, 9 o'clock or lay down. I probably wouldn't go to sleep. I'd stay awake, I'm sure. But that was life for me when I was young. Now, there was a deer up in Red River County. Now, there were a few deer back in the 50s and early 60s. I remember Crook's Camp, which was down the road. My brother-in-law took me there when I was about 10 or 11. I will never forget it. And I'm sure this was in about early 60s, you know. And these were probably some old boys that World War II era guys. They had a couple of green army tents, the big wall tents set up. And my brother-in-law, Billy Wayne, drove me back in there. And I never will forget when we pulled up on the camp, these old boys at midday, they were playing cards or something there. There's about, as I remember, there were 6 or 8 of them. And there was 2 bucks hanging up on the meat pole, 2 whitetail bucks. I tell you, that left an impression on me. I'd like to have had a video of me looking at those bucks. It was the first deer I'd ever seen harvested. You know, we'd see maybe 2, if you were lucky back in those days, you'd see 2 deer a year on our little 30-acre farm, you know. But that left a big impression. When we left, I told my brother-in-law, he was probably in his early 20s, and I was about, you know, 10 or 11. I said, Billy Wayne, when I get big, I'm going to be a deer hunter. And he laughed, and he wasn't a deer hunter, awesome squirrel hunter, but he just didn't grow up in an era he grew up in the 40s, you know, I guess the 50s mostly. And there weren't hardly any deer. There was a deer season up in East Texas, but darn few deer. Well, on the Sulphur and the Red River, we'd kill an occasional hog. You know, my folks would, my dad would, but not a lot of hogs. But the way the outdoors has changed, I never would have dreamed back in those days that, well, for instance, in about 3 weeks, I'll be heading up to Saskatchewan, up near the Northwest Territories, to fish for pike and walleye and Arctic grayling. I would have never believed my life would have been, for a person that loves the outdoors, pretty much just obviously blessed. Things that I love to do now, I have the opportunity to do, mostly because of my writing, you know, as an outdoor writer through the years. But it's been an amazing trip, I'll tell you, going from the love of fishing and hunting I've had since I was a little boy. I don't know. Some people, I've kidded a lot of grown buddies of mine, you know, older guys, that some people love to hunt and fish, some don't. I'll tell them it's kind of like bird dogs or hunting dogs. Some dogs are hunters, some are not. It's nothing bad or nothing good about it. It's just the way it is. But I have, when I got on up into my upper 20s, you know, I started out like most hunters, 30-30, you know, lever action, Marlin 336C or a Winchester Model 94. That's what I was using. Then I discovered a scoped flat shooting 243, that kind of deal. And then I discovered black powder. I started hunting with black powder. That was my deal, oh gosh, for a long time, maybe 8 or 10 years, something like that, you know. I was a major black powder shooter. That's what I hunted with. I started bow hunting in my 30s, serious. I'd shoot a bow all along, but I really seriously started hunting with a bow when I was in my 30s. And once I got hooked on a compound bow, I was hooked for good. Now, you know, I hunt with a lot of different big bore air guns. I killed a bunch of hogs and exotics with a 45 caliber air gun, if you can imagine, those Air Force Texan shooting a 350 grain big old bullet made by Hunter's Supply. I've killed a lot of hogs and exotics with that, but I've hunted with just about everything. Thoroughly love bow hunting. I've had to crank my bow down here to 55 pounds, but you know, a 55 pound bow now, I'm shooting a Darton. It's a Maverick 2. That thing shoots almost 300 feet per second, which is way faster than one that I was pulling 65 pounds, you know, 10, 12 years ago. The archery's come such a long, long way. But bow hunting has always been one of my passions, something that I really love to do. On the topic of how hunting has changed, you know, used to small game was a big deal. Squirrel hunting, if you're an East Texan and kid growing up and you didn't hunt squirrels, well, you know, you'd had to wonder what was wrong. Who's not teaching you, you know? But now, small game hunting, squirrel hunting is not that popular anymore. A lot of people still do. I still love to go squirrel hunting. But what has taken over is deer. I mean, deer are now more plentiful than ever, I've read, definitely in my lifetime. But even back in the heyday, back in the settlers' days, I don't think there were any more deer than there are now. So a lot of kids grew up hunting deer, and that can be a turnoff. It can. I've raised two sons and had them up hunting deer all along. You got to be careful with it, breaking a kid in. Youngsters, when you start them out in the outdoors, they need action. If you're going fishing, don't take them bass fishing where they might catch one fish every hour. Take them out for some sand bass or catfish or something that's biting, or perch or brim, you know. Same with hunting. You take a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, let him sit in a box blind for about 4 hours and not see anything, he's going to get bored. I mean, he really is. So not saying don't take youngsters deer hunting. By all means, do. This is just my thoughts. But also expose them to some quail hunting behind a bird dog. Or if you don't, probably don't have one, but you can certainly go to a good preserve and get the kids out doing something where they're active. But I do think the age of instant gratification, I think maybe we're in it. I don't think I'd ever be a true trophy hunter, but any deer hunter that tells you he don't want to kill a big buck is probably not telling you the truth. But I like to make sausage and steaks and roast and everything from my venison and wild hogs. I hunt hogs year-round. You know, you hear me talking about that a whole lot. So hunting has changed a whole lot. Back when I was a kid, it was sport, yes. It was also meat. I mean, it was food. And I never changed my ways of looking at that. When I go hunting, my ultimate goal is, well, we're going to put this in the freezer and I'm going to make bacon wraps out of it, or chicken fried steak, or barbecue, or whatever. That's still my ultimate goal. Folks, I've kind of rambled a little bit, unscripted today, but I've enjoyed talking to you. Maybe you've got a little bit better handle on who old Luke is and what I do, or at least part of what I do as a writer and radio show host. But enjoyed being with you. Make sure and tune in next week. And do remember, you can go to the KETR.org and click on local programs. You can listen to this show and all the past shows for a long, long time. We'll see you next week, folks. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.